Okay, last one sitting down has to sing a solo.
Oh. Reed's the last one, gonna sing a solo.
Solo that nobody hears it. Okay, starts off with a bang. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, for a just weight is his delight. Now, the usual spiritual application for that is somebody that says they're out of balance in life, meaning they focus just on this or they just focus on that. And, you know, if you go to a church, all they talk about the King James issue, that's out of balance. If you go to another one, all they talk about is tongues, hostile and tie and tie, bow tie, that's out of balance. Okay? That's like a spiritual application there. A church should be very difficult to label. The preacher, what's he preached like? Well, he'll hit plain doctrines, he'll hit heavy doctrines, he'll hit New World Order, he'll hit banking institution, he'll hit attorneys, he'll hit you name it. And of course, all that's in the book. And so I've had people tell me, you know, they go to a certain church, all they hear is salvation message every Sunday morning. But yet there's nobody there lost. And so the thing is, you got to preach at Christians. Preaching to the lost is out there in the streets more than anything. And like we were doing, you know, an hour ago, out there in the street corner, yelling, screaming. And, boy, you get out in them streets and you know exactly. You see the ones with a sneer in their face. You see the ones that yell at you. Then you see the ones who are happy, beat the horn at you. So that's the way you can look at this, a false balance. Church should have a balance. I'd say the balance for, I'd say a preacher, the three priorities that he is to study. This is what I do in my life. One, obviously the book. Okay, the second one, either law or health principles. One of those two. Health principles won't take real long once you figure out what your body's got to have for health things. In our house, I've delegated more of that to my wife, so she's got the alternative health things, you know, and that helps our family very well. But we got to know the law. Got to know the law. Okay, and but yet you want to keep a balance in these things. Now, doctrinally, false balance, okay, you have a reference there on word balance back in Leviticus 19. Now, what is he directly talking about, a false balance? You go to Leviticus 19, you'll see. He's talking about money. He's talking about honest business adventures, Leviticus 19. In the Bible, our business affairs are just as important to God as our time on Sundays or on Thursdays or any other time. Every single day is holy for a Christian. People say, well, you have your secular work and all this stuff. No such thing for a Bible-believing Christian. None. Every bit of it's sacred. I was mentioning to Brent, you know, Monday we went down to Terre Haute. He got him a fancier mower. And I said to him, I said, man, this lawn mowing business, what you're in, is a great business for anybody who wants to start a church in the community. I mean, if you all you got to do is, you know, get a mower, start knocking some doors, and you can do two things at once. Knock on doors, tell about Jesus Christ, get a lawn mowing business going, have an influence. It's a great way to be a testimony to people. That's funny. Brent has one elderly lady that got talking to him, and she was mad at her daughter about something or her son or about something. And she said, I'm taking them out of my will. She said, I'm putting you in. So he got stuck in. I don't know if he's going to get the house cat. I don't know what he's going to get, but just taking care of him. Okay, Leviticus 19. Here's the cross-reference verse 35. It says, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meat yard, in weight, or in measure. Just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin shall ye have. I am the Lord your God which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Well, what are they weighing? They're weighing lawful money. They're weighing real money. Real money is money that you weigh. Gold and silver coin. That's real money. Now, we're used to saying dollar, meaning the paper currency in our pocket, but that isn't a dollar. The Coinage Act, it's so precise in America, the Coinage Act of 1792 defines what a dollar is. What is a dollar? It's so much weight in a gold or silver coin. That's a dollar. And see, these things are all defined, so we know exactly our terms. In the Bible, money that is weighed is the right kind of money. That is true wealth. Money that is weighed. There's another cross-reference you could run on this one. Deuteronomy 25, verse 13. Do you remember with the story when Jeremiah was in the Pokey? And God told him, your uncle's going to come, and he's going to sell you his land. And, of course, he did. And then it says, and he weighed the money. He weighed the money. Now, that's real money. That's constitutional money. Okay, Deuteronomy 25, what did I say, verse 13. Thou shalt not have in thy bag diverse weights, a great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thine house diverse measures, a great and a small. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, isn't that interesting? You increase your life by being honest in business affairs. What he's talking about there is, okay, if you got to weigh something out, or the scale, if you're going to weigh something out, somebody's going to buy a pound of such and such, and before they came in, you adjusted the scale so they only get 15 and a half ounces. See, and that's theft. And in the Bible, our business adventures are part of our holy living, Old Testament and New Testament, being honest about these things. And the Lord watches this, and he observes this, and he keeps very close tabs on it. Interesting thing, if you read, there's a book, old book, I think it's called The Miracle of 34th Street or something like that. And this is not a movie book. This is about America between 1776 to 1787. In that range, actually around 1780 to 1787. And a man wrote somebody and he said, rioting in the streets, fraud everywhere, theft everywhere. It wasn't worth it to have the independence. And then 2 years later, well, that would have made it, now I remember the dates, 1785. 2 years later, it said, peace and tranquility, every man's working hard, honest business adventures. What was the difference? The difference was the Constitution, where they eliminated paper currency and they set up gold and silver coin. That's what they did. And that settled everything down. And there's a Supreme Court case called Julliard versus Greenman. And in that case, one Supreme Court justice said, we had an opportunity here to destroy paper currency forever. But we didn't do it, and it's gonna create more and more fraud. Where are we at now today? Right in the middle of it. And it's all with paper currency. Federal Reserve note, number one, is not federal. Number two, it has no reserve. And a note is an IOU. And so that's why we're in the mess we're in. As far as the economy goes, as far as the so-called national debt, no such animal. It's all a smoke screen. I can fix the national debt in 5 minutes. How do you do that? Go to Numbers chapter 5 and you read through there and you just say, to the bankers, the owners of the Federal Reserve System, the international bankers, and the Jesuit priests, you say, sorry, pals, you're out. All the debt, zippo, and you can take a leap. return everything back to the people like the year of Jubilee. And boy, wouldn't we have a Jubilee in this country if that happened?
It ain't going to happen. If a president did that, then he'd be dead within 7 days.
And there's something to it. The love of money is the root of all evil, isn't it? A false balance, an abomination of the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Okay, that's all that one. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. Self-explanatory, but with the lowly is wisdom. With the lowly is wisdom. Humility. I believe humility is the greatest virtue. Humility is not an action, it's an attitude. It's an attitude that you have with God. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And a person who's humble is willing to learn from anybody. I mean, when a guy gets thinks he knows everything, he's just dumber than a box of rocks. I mean, you can learn. You're going to learn until the day you die, and you need to learn from anybody and everybody. Everybody knows something you don't know, so you can learn from them. And always have your ears open. We have two ears, one mouth, so we should listen twice as much as we talk. So verse 2, pride cometh, or when pride cometh, then cometh shame. Now I can give personal illustrations on that. You know, when pride welled up in my heart, how God just tore me down just quick as could be, and I knew why he did it. And after he did it, I said, okay, humble pie, here we go. Right in the face. Okay, so that was self-explanatory. With the lowly is wisdom. A couple of references on that one. Look at Luke 10:21 and 1 Corinthians 3:18. Luke 10:21 is the only occurrence in the New Testament that records Jesus Christ rejoicing. Now, obviously we know that he rejoiced more than once on all these times. But as far as that word rejoiced, it's only one occurrence in the New Testament about the Lord Jesus Christ. And look what he thought was funny. He got a tickle out of this. Luke 10:21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babies. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. What was he happy about? He thought it was funny when the worldly smart people couldn't figure something out. He got a tickle out of that. You know, here you got all these college professors, you know, getting together, they're going to research, why do we have so much crime? You know, they're going to come up with the great best answer. Fuzzy idiots. We need to get rid of guns. That's what we need to do. Because if we get rid of guns, people won't kill each other. Okay, if you get rid of guns, they'll use knives. Okay, then we need to get rid of all the knives. Register the knives and get rid of all the knives, men won't kill each other. Well, then they'll use baseball bats. Well, then we need to register the baseball bats, and then we need to eventually confiscate all of them like Oshkosh just did lately with the guns, going house to house, taking the guns in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And we need to take all the baseball bats from them. Well, what do they use next? Tree limbs. Hammers, you know? Maybe it'd be a fortunate one like up in Hobart. Remember that one in Hobart a few years ago where a guy had a hammer? He got hit in the head like 60 times with a hammer and they declared it was suicide? Yeah. Kook, kook, kook. What am I dead yet? Kook. Boy, I wish I'd get this thing over with. Kook. I mean, a bunch of ding-a-lings. What are they going to do if they take everything away? Well, they'll do what Cain did. Beat them out, beat them up with their hands. Kill them with their hands, beat them with rocks. And so, you know, they think that's the solution. Nah, Switzerland don't have a problem with gun crime. Switzerland don't have a problem with crime in their country. They don't have a problem with rape and everything going on in Switzerland. They don't have a problem with a foreign country coming in their land. Adolf Hitler was wanting to attack Switzerland, and his general said, we ain't going in there. For a little tiny nation that's been neutral for 700 years. Why? Because everybody got a gun in their house. And see, that's our protect. Guns insurance. Hope you never have to use it on a person. But it's just there for insurance.
Well, Jesus thought it was funny when these smart guys couldn't figure it out. Try 1 Corinthians 3:18. Sometimes if you get talking with people about the Bible and you discover they have a college education, you may get intimidated with that. There's no need for the intimidation. Well, they're a college professor, you know, whatnot. Well, they're wise in their field, maybe. Expertise in that field. But just listen to people. Just listen. Let them. Actually, when you talk to people, let them do most of the talking, and you'll discover they will contradict themselves in their own speech. A man that's a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. Knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth of himself. 1 Corinthians 3:18, it says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. Let him become a fool. Talk straight and plain. You know, use English the way you want to use it. Abuse it, however you want to use it. Just as long as you get your point across. Let him become a fool. So the Lord helps the lowly out. Proverbs 11, verse 2, verse 3, the integrity of the upright shall guide them. Integrity of the upright shall guide them. The cross-reference would run us to Job. And if we have our integrity, if we have integrity and it's found in the Scripture, that guides us and it saves you from a lot of decisions in life. You know, the thing in America, you go to these stores, and I hate it when you go to these stores and they have about 10 different items of the same thing. Why can't they just have one? I just go pick it up and then leave. But when you got 10, oh, you got to, you know, all these things, you have to try to figure it out. Okay, it saves on decisions if you just let the Bible guide your life. Well, I want to go here. Well, can't do that. Lord says I can't. Well, aren't you going to think about it? Don't have to think about it. It's already been decided. Integrity. Integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. There's a perverse. Now, what are they going to pervert more than anything? The cross-reference is Jeremiah 23:36, and it says, they have perverted the words of the living God. They perverted the words of the Bible. If they did that in the Old Testament, they do that in the New Testament? Of course, 2 Corinthians 2:17 says, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. All that verse changed in all the new Bibles. They mess with it. 2:17. So, perversion. And I tell you, the perverts, the sodomites in this country, Jan was, I think he stopped at Cracker Barrel the other day after they had already done, had the meal paid for it. And Jan, I think, struck up a conversation with the cash register lady, and she said, well, we like coming here because you people don't hire homosexuals. Well, that was about 3 or 4 years ago, I remember that. They had a lawsuit, and this lady went on, oh, we don't discriminate against anyone. We have one in this part, in this part, in this part. Oh, man, I wish you had told me that earlier. I want Ed here. You know, but that's where it's coming in this country. Getting to be a mess. Okay, so the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. 4, riches profit not in the day of wrath. The cross-references on that will repeat it. Same thing. The day of wrath. Okay, what would be the day of wrath? Doctrinally, remember what Proverbs is aimed at. The day of wrath is dealing with the tribulation, second coming of Christ. And the reason why he throws riches in there is because the rich international bankers, the sodomites, and the antichrist and company, and the workers of iniquity will be rich by fraud, James 5:4. And they think they're going to buy their way into eternity. And the Lord says, nah, you can't buy off this judge.
not the judge, the holy and just one, Jesus Christ. You can't put money under the table for him. You know, I knew the court systems were corrupt in this country, but boy, is it coming to a new light when you get involved. Amazing what they do. I mean, it is just amazing. Riches profit not in the day of wrath. Can't buy it off. Salvation is only found in Jesus Christ and his shed blood. But righteousness delivereth from death. Okay, doctrinally, we know that righteousness is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The righteousness of Jesus Christ delivers us from death and hell. And so we trust in the righteousness of Jesus Christ instead of trying to establish our own righteousness, Romans 10, 1, 2, and 3. And when we rely on the Lord Jesus Christ for our hope for heaven, at that moment he gives us eternal life, and that's what's going to deliver us from death and hell. That's the hope we have in salvation. 5, the righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. Self-explanatory proverb. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them. Okay, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. Okay, again, self-explanatory. Now, the idea there in verse 6, the righteousness of the upright shall deliver them. I got the cross reference there, you see. Going to Matthew 25. And that passage is dealing with what is known as the judgment of the nations. Remember, at the end of the tribulation, the Lord sits on a throne in the valley of Jehoshaphat, brings all nations in front of him, and then he brings, let's say he calls in, here's the Netherlands. Brings the Netherlands. Everybody from the Netherlands show up. And he says, okay, you helped out the Jews, you're the sheep. You didn't help out the Jews, you're the goats. Sheep's on his right side, goats on his left side. Sheep go into the millennium, goats go to hell. Calls up Germany, same thing. Sheep on the right side, goats on the left side. Their righteous behavior of trying to take care of the Jews in the tribulation warrants life into the millennium. Now, it's not dealing with salvation. That just says they start the millennium. Some of those people will probably still die and go to hell. But at least they helped out some Jewish folks in the tribulation, the brothers of Christ. That's the idea there in that judgment in Matthew 25. Odyssey 7, when a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish. Well, what does he expect? When a Muslim straps some bombs around him and blows himself all over the place, what does he expect? Well, he expected, you know, a drunken party. And what, 70-some virgins for him in eternity? That's what he expected. Well, he sure got a strange expectation when sort of got hot. Well, ain't that something different? See, the wicked man dieth, they expect that they're going to go to heaven. But they don't. It perishes. And the hope of the unjust man perisheth. Same thing for them. They hope. How many times have you heard that? Ask somebody, do you know you're going to heaven? Hope so. I sure hope so. Well, their hope is going to perish. You don't want to bet on that. If you're going to be a betting man, go waste your money betting, you know, and gambling and stuff like that. If you're going to be a betting man, but don't bet on your soul. Make sure you know for sure Christ is your Savior. Okay, that's 7. 8, the righteous is delivered out of trouble. And the wicked cometh in his stead. Okay, there's you can look at that spiritually application there. The righteous delivered out of trouble. Rapture. What comes after the rapture? The wicked comes in his stead. The Antichrist steps in. Now the trouble there, remember Proverbs is aimed at the tribulation, doctrinally. The trouble there is called Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah 30, verse 7, Jacob's trouble. It's the trouble. It is the culmination of God's judgment on the nation of Israel because they said at Calvary, let his blood be upon us and our children. And he said that at Calvary, Matthew 27:25. So the Lord said, okay. Now anybody who is honest and logical, who studies history and sees what happens to the Jews, they have to come to a conclusion there's something to that Bible. Why does the devil got to get rid of those Jews? Because when you and I see a Jewish individual, that is proof of this book. Salvations of the Jews. And there's going to be a remnant. And I know they're apostate today. I understand it. And I know that they're probably running a banking cartel. I know that, the apostate ones. But there's going to be a remnant. And that remnant is going to inherit the promises that was given to Abraham. Now, God promised that it's an everlasting covenant. It is unconditional, what he gave to Abraham. And that's going to be passed down, that land grant of Israel. Not just a little Gaza Strip, you know, not just a little this part. They're getting a whole kit and caboodle. They're getting that whole triangle area, not just a little bit. They're getting every bit of it. And when the Arabs and Edomites rebel against that at the end of the tribulation, the Lord says, guess what, pals? You am going to be the straw man on the Wizard of Oz, and them Jews are going to be flames, and you're going to get torched. And he's going to torch them. There are Isaiah 34, Ezekiel 35, Malachi 1, verse 3 and 4, Obadiah, verse 17, 18, shows exactly that where he's going to torch them. Okay, so the doctrine there, the righteous is delivered out of trouble, Jacob's trouble, and the wicked, the Antichrist, cometh in his stead, and hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. Second sin talked about in the Bible. Number one sin is idolatry. The second one is the sins of our mouth. Well, our mouth is cutting. Sharp tongue cuts people to shreds. Parents foolishly say to their kids, you're ignorant, you're stupid, get out of my face. You know, I wish I never saw you. People talk the way they talk to their kids. They talk the worse. They talk worse to their kids than they do their animals. Get a little dog, come on, nice little dog, you nice little... Kick the stupid dog, love your kids. You're going to do something, you know? The way people treat humans, it blows my mind the way people treat humans. I mean, I can't imagine how people live their lives, judges and lawyers, where they just revel in throwing people in a cage. Knowing that many, I know a lot of them just guilty of sin, I understand that, but there's a lot of them that aren't. And jail is not the appropriate punishment for a thief. That's not where a thief is supposed to go. What's a punishment for a thief? Well, he's supposed to restore it back. If he can't pay it, he becomes a slave to that person, indebted to him until he does pay it. What happens now? Your insurance doubles. Court system makes a bunch of money. Jailers make a bunch of money. The judges and lawyers make money off the bonds that they have in the prison systems. Their stock goes up. It's a big gamble. I was just reading someplace a statistic in America. On the average in America, 30% of people are either in jail or on probation or parole. 30%. I think it was Oklahoma with 48%. That's phenomenal. In ancient Israel, they didn't hardly have any jails. If a county was run properly and people had laws that they knew were laws and they were enforced properly, this county would probably need a jail that would house 4 people. That'd be all you need. And if you have a murderer, who was just telling me about that murderer? Brother Larry was telling me about a guy who killed somebody in 1977. He was on death row since 77, and they were going to have lethal injection, I guess, today. And his attorney said, he's too old. We can't do that to him. Old and sickly. Murdered somebody. See, and so
That's easy to take care of. Okay, guy's guilty of it. And he's had a trial and everything, and he has been proven guilty beyond reasonable doubt, and then execute him. I mean, that's the biblical thing to do. But make sure it's beyond reasonable doubt. Boy, nowadays, I would rather see guilt go unpunished than somebody innocent go punished. And that's really the way our system is set up, if it was honored. Okay, so a hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. When our kids do right, praise them. Politeness, courtesy. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Thank you. Please. Instead of yelling and screaming at them, you know, a lot of times, just, would you come over here, please? You say, well, they won't come. Train them to come with that. You see, they've trained you. Come over here. They play. I told you to come over here. They're still playing. I said, come over here! Oh, now I better come. They knew when you meant it. Mean it the first time. You do that again, I'm going to thank you. You do that again, I'm going to thank you. You liar. You already lied once. Do that again, I'm going to thank you. Right? You lied twice. See, the thing is just mean what we say and say what we mean. Don't have to be obnoxious about things. Be polite about things. And the way people deal, you know, be courteous to people. You know, I like the old saying, you know, honey draws more flies than vinegar. And the Bible, you know, here, let's try it. 2 Peter. Obviously, it's a verse we've got to, you know, definitely change, I'm sure, certainly. Bible believers, you know, don't like this one. 2 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally, 2 Peter 3, finally be of one mind. Having compassion one of another. Having compassion. Look in people's eyes. Look in your children's eyes. First Peter. Did I say second? First Peter. The other Second Peter, that's right. First Peter 3, verse 8. The other, Second Peter 3, verse 8 is good too. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Be courteous. Kids should be taught to say thank you after the meal. Pick up after themselves. You know, if you've got to have somebody do dishes, make sure when dad's turn to do dishes, you paper plates. That's the way to get out of that. That's Jewish, yeah. You know, arthritis, this soap is terrible for arthritis. So, a hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. It is said that words are like toothpaste. Once you squeeze it, you ain't getting it back. And if you have said the wrong things, apologize. Make it an honest apology. I was dead wrong. I was stupid. I shouldn't have said that. I just ran my mouth off. And when people run their mouth off against you, realize you've done it to them and be more forgiving with people. Ecclesiastes 7:21. Oh, what a verse, what a verse. Look at this one. Ecclesiastes 7:20. People react too quick. I tell you, that's probably one of the best things I have learned through the law process, studying the law. Don't react so fast. You got to give it time to work things out. Ecclesiastes 7. Isn't it amazing? It seems like God is never in a hurry. Ecclesiastes 7:21. It says, also take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest I hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hath cursed others. Now, you know a man don't write that stuff. God writes right into that stuff. You know, you hear somebody say this about you. Oh, okay, so what? Bad day. You know, we all say things dumb at times. Okay, so that's a hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. You know, that's a big thing why people don't come to church, a hypocrite. You know, a hypocrite's a church. You know, people ask me, I don't go to church, hypocrite's not church. So when they say that to me, I say, ah, come on, one more hypocrite ain't going to hurt anything. You know, that's a good way to put it on them. We're all hypocrites. Aren't we supposed to live a sinless life, try to live a sinless, holy life? We can't do it, but we're supposed to strive for that. There's hypocrites at football games. Half the people in that stadium don't play football. Hypocrites at basketball games. They're sitting there gorging their face with stuff, and they don't play basketball. They're a bunch of hypocrites. Hypocrites everywhere. A hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Through knowledge. Give it time. Give it time. He said, they slandered me. Don't worry about it. If the Lord directs you to do something, okay, then say something. But if not, don't worry about it. People forget it. You know, any advertisement's good advertisement. And people just, you know, well, he said this about me. I'm getting aligned. I mean, if the Lord endured what he endured for us, you know, have you been shot at for your witness for Christ? Have you been punched in the face for your witness for Christ? You know? Not had that happen yet. Okay, verse 10. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. And when the wicked perish, there is shouting. Now, you have several examples of that in the Bible. Mordecai is an example. The book of Esther. Okay, when it went well with the righteous, the city was rejoicing. Okay, one where there was rejoicing when the wicked perished would have been the story with Jael in Judges 4 and 5. Remember that story when Sisera was running away and he went into Jael's tent, this lady's tent, and it says that this lady was blessed above women. She was one step over Mary. Mary was blessed among women. This lady was blessed above women. And it says she went into the tent, and it was Sisera, and then she said, oh, stay in my tent, and she brought him some buttermilk. You know, probably put it in front of him like a cat. Here, drink this, you know. So I brought him some buttermilk. Take your rest. And while he's sawing some logs, she goes and gets a tent stake. You know, puts it right on his temple. Can you imagine the nervousness she had? Can't miss this one. Gotta get it. And she rams his head, nailed. That's where you get the common saying, she nailed him. And she stuck his head right in the ground. And then, when the army came looking for him, he said, hey, look at here. Don't you know they were rejoicing after that? Rejoicing after Hitler was dead. Rejoicing. You want to know the greatest rejoicing time when they're singing hallelujah in heaven? Read Revelation 19. Revelation 19, when the Vatican goes up in a smoke, and when the devil is thrown in hell, and the Antichrist is thrown in hell, man, that is going to be a good time. He finally gets fired. He gets fired. Throws into hell. That's where that common saying comes from. Isn't that a weird thing? You say, I get fired from work. What? I got fired at work. You did? They took a match and torched you? That's what's going to happen to the devil. He's going to get fired from his job of deceiving the world and accusing the brethren. Okay, so verse 10, you know, there's several more illustrations of that in the Bible. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. When Queen Victoria and Queen Elizabeth was in charge of England and they sent the Bibles throughout the world, the city rejoiced. Many people rejoiced. When the wicked perish, they are shouting. But the blessing of the upright, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. But it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. I wonder how many airplanes did not crash just because there's a Christian on there. I'd say there's times like that. I heard about an account where there's a plane recently that
not, oh, it's been 4 or 5 years. It went down over the Pacific Ocean, over Washington, over in that area. And somehow they got the recorders of what was going on in the passenger part. And as that plane was in the air coming around, you could hear a lady's voice on the speaker telling people how to get saved. And they said it was a miracle that that plane stayed in the air that long and then went down. The Lord gave somebody a last chance. And so right there, the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. So when Christianity was the established religion in America, when America began, we had revivals everywhere in this country. People rejoiced. America became a very prosperous nation very quick because of the righteous people. Wicked people benefit from that, but they don't think so. And they get the benefits out of that. But by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Okay, the city probably there, I'm not saying definite, probably Jerusalem. Okay, but the blessing of the upright, you could doctrinally say Jesus Christ, the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to exalt Jerusalem. Okay, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. There you can say when Antichrist is running the show in Jerusalem, the streets are going to be deserted. 12, he that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. Now, there's a fine line in that verse. People say silence is golden. Well, sometimes silence is yellow. There is a time to speak. Ecclesiastes said, there's a time to speak and there's a time to keep silence. And wisdom tells you when to speak and when to keep silent. And so Oriental people generally are more reserved people, more quiet people. Why? More intelligent people. Okay, on the average, a man that is of understanding holdeth his peace. Hold your peace, they say. That's a nice way to say be quiet. Shut up. Okay? A man of understanding, he just waits and listens. He hears the whole story. People react too fast. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. And the thing is, just sit there and listen. Get the whole story. And then just figure it out. Okay, so a man of understanding holdeth his peace. The idea is to sit there and look intelligent rather than open your mouth and improve your stupidity, you know. Even a wise man that retaineth his tongue is counted wise, or a foolish man when he retaineth his tongue is counted wise. Okay, so the thing is again, there's a balance in there. You got to figure out that balance, time to speak and time not to speak. And the Lord will help you out with that. Verse 13, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. We don't have to tell all the dirt on everybody. You know, we don't have to air our dirty laundry out to everybody. That verse is 1 Peter 4:8, a multitude, charity covereth a multitude of sins. Again, now there's a balance in that. There's times a sin needs to be exposed, but there's times that if the person is repentant on it, then help them out. Help them out the best you can. Depends on the attitude. And again, that's one that the Lord will direct you if your heart is sincere and you want to help out on that thing. Okay, a talebearer is the one that's always, you know, going around. Of course, a talebearer, a gossip. I tell you, if I had a choice between church members, between a drunk and a smoker versus a gossip, I'll take the drunk. I'll take the drunk over to the gossip. Because the gossip steals your most prized possession, your name. To steal your name, defame your name, that's worse than stealing your possessions. That is worse than a thief. So someone to defame, to accuse your name. Pizza Hut. So, I mean, when they attack your name, it takes you years to build your name as good character. And one moment, somebody can tear it up like that. And when somebody takes your name and slanders your name, they're behaving like Satan. That's what they're doing. That's his ministry, accuser of the brethren. Okay, so that's 13, a talebearer, revealeth secrets, and he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Did I hear the tape? Oh, okay, 45 minutes, that's good. 11, 14, we'll start there next time. Any questions or comments? Just in time.